Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. And actually, it is episode 101, and that is for April 24th, 2024. And let me explain to you, this is the day that Stephen and I have been promising. Now, we have gone over a specific comment, and I won't get too deep into this because it's the show, each week, with the promise that eventually we would give you what we feel about that. So let me get through my normal opening, and you might even guess where we're going with this, okay? Because the title of the show for today is From Tyranny to Our Course of Action. And some of you are chuckling right about now. So let's get through this opening. The show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLV, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who will come into this conversation shortly. And for anybody who doesn't remember, this is a show Stephen and I put together. It is a two-part show, and we will get into that as well. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truths and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. Yes, I say that every week, and no, it doesn't sound good. But yes, it's reality. And I would absolutely love to see the day where I can't report that, I can't say that, I can't repeat that because it's no longer true. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake, our thanks to Annie, who is a good friend of mine, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. Yeah, Roger's going to say this again. If you want to keep these platforms around, and are they worth it? Oh, hell yes. Why? Because they're telling you things other people won't. So how do you do that? Especially if you're somebody out there who already donates, but you can only do a couple of bucks here, maybe 30 or 40 bucks there, maybe 50 bucks here. But they are randomized donations. What I am telling you is, and you've all heard this before, but if you haven't, please listen up. What you do is you go in and you figure out what you normally contribute over the course of a year. And if that comes out to, yeah, we'll throw out a number that's going to work for me well, $120 over the course of the year. You divide that by 12, that's $10 a month. And you go in and you put that down as a reoccurring donation. You click that box so that every month, $10 will go to RBN, will go to any station, will go to PSN, will go to all of these stations out there that work so hard to make sure that you constantly get the right word. So if you're wanting to keep Shake and Wake alive, which I would really, really love it if you are thinking in that direction, then consider giving them a monthly recurring donation. Why? That builds a budget for them. If they know they've got $10 a month coming in from so-and-so, $20 a month coming in from so-and-so, $5 a month coming in from so-and-so, they can add that up into a budget. What is a budget? It's something you can depend on a monthly basis to pay bills. So again, I'm not asking you to give any of these platforms anymore. What I am asking you to do is to give it to them, because you're probably already generous, give it to them in a fashion that is most effective to both them and you. Okay? And with that, let's slide on into the rest of this opening, because this is a show I'm really looking forward to doing. And yes, yeah, Stephen, you're with me today, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, our mission is to keep you armed with vital truths, as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital truths without fear of censorship or exclusion. That being the sponsor of this show, TLV Talk, which is down in the garage until the 4th of July, actually the 1st of July, so you will be able to use it on the 4th of July, for major upgrades and some new tricks that will put a smile on everybody's face. So is TLB Talk gone? No. If you click on the link, you will go to a place that will tell you exactly what I just told you. Is it going to be worth a couple of months in the garage? You be the judge of that, but I am the founder of this project, and I can tell you I like it a lot. Okay. A link to any references used for this show presentation will be included in tomorrow's show article published on the Liberty Beacon by Noon Central. All right. Let's get a little bit further into this. Let's light this up, okay? And before I bring Stephen in, I want to produce the following comment. Again, the title of today's show is From Tyranny to Our Course of Action. to date on just about every show, I have made the following comment. I will always state that the message I bring you today is not entertainment or baseless guesses or remote possibilities. Most of what I deliver is in-your-face reality, recorded facts, or an inevitability depending on our course of action. The high spot of that opening comment is depending on our course of action, not theirs. And this is something we have promised to present to you in a show before the end of the month. We are at least partially successful. Today's show will be part of a two-part series, finishing next Wednesday. Obviously, next Wednesday, I believe, will be next month. But we will get the first show of this two-part series in today. Today, Steve will ask me some questions, and I will reply to those questions, and then both of us will discuss our personal perspective of each one of these points. The points we don't get done today will carry over into the show next week, along with Steve's questions and points. And if we don't finish those next week, we'll roll into a third week. This is important enough. It needs to be discussed. Our course of action needs to be discussed, because everything a deep state government is doing today is to keep you from putting together a course of action. All right, Steve, to start all off, that last comment I just made, do you agree?
Yes, I do. I've checked the fact checkers, the independent factors, and they said it's factual information.
Okay. Is there anything you would like to say before you throw the first question at me? And what's going to happen today is Stephen's going to throw some talking points at me. We will have a discussion on them. Next week, I will take Stephen's points and hand them to him, and we will have discussions. So today, I'm in the hot seat, and Stephen, you get the question.
Well, you know, as I've said all along here for the last 100 episodes, this is 101.
Yes.
Episode. I truly do believe that there is no such thing as a left-right paradigm. It has been destroyed. But until the masses come to that realization.
I do agree. And the thing of it is, it's a game being played so that you and I are snowballed.
Yeah.
And it's a game that's been played for a very long time. And if you take a look at the Speaker of the House right now, he's probably one of the most, rhinos there are.
Uh-huh. But they got rid of the other rhino.
Yeah. McCarthy. And I'm wondering how long this one's going to last. But let's roll into, unless you've got anything else you'd like to present prior to, let's roll into these questions so that we could get at least these questions taken care of so that we can deal strictly with yours next week.
Sure. But just one more quick comment. I've got a friend.
I hope so.
I've got a friend that said in the middle of last year, she foreseen in, some kind of vision or dream or whatever, that Trump was going to become Speaker of the House. But that hasn't happened yet, and don't know if it will happen.
Do you know why Trump would become the Speaker of the House?
Yeah, she explained it to me, but I forgot.
I can tell you why. Okay. The only way that Trump can literally get appointed to the presidency is if something happens to the president, something happens to the vice president, who is the third person in line?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Speaker of the House. And if they already know that they can perform some sort of a legal maneuver that will take both Biden or whoever the president and the vice president are out of their position, then the next person in line to assume that position is the Speaker of the House. So if they are ready to do this, one of the things they may do is get all of the Republicans, which is a majority at this point, in the House to vote Trump in as the Speaker.
Yep.
In which case, when they pull whoever is president or vice president out, Trump will automatically become president.
Uh-huh. The two actors that are portraying Biden and Harris, with the specially made mask, but anyways.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into the points I brought. Otherwise, we're going to do everything you brought this week, and it's not. It just works better this way.
Yeah.
Because for anybody listening, you know me. I provide the general information. I capture your interest, but I always bring an article that focuses down on the exact points. This is exactly what you're getting today. Today, I'm going to give you the generalities. Next week, Stephen is poking your face right into the specifics.
Yeah. Why does America specifically, but the entire world, why do we have to have closed borders? Why do we need closed borders?
Well, actually, we don't need closed borders, but at the same time, we do. You've got to remember, we have to live within societal norms, which means that in order for you to get a job, if you're somebody who just crossed the border, then all of the people who are qualified and in that area to get a job can't get it because you're willing to work for a whole lot less. Now, you take that one thing. Okay. You also add to it my beliefs and my understandings of how laws work, of how regulations work, of what I am entitled to and what I'm not. The thing of it is, coming across a border is not necessarily restrictive, as in we don't want anybody here. It's as in we want to know who is here. And if you've got a criminal record, no, we don't want you in our population. And if you've been, you know, arrested for terrorist actions, no, we don't want you in our population. But at the same time, if you have no, I don't know, bad past, if everything you wish to do is to move to a new country and make a better life and have a place for your children to grow up that's more prosperous, then I agree with you. Everybody and anybody who wishes to should be able to. But does there need to be a way to record it? Does there need to be a function of legality for all of this? If there isn't, then you would have no mechanisms to help society at all, because society would be in a constant state of flux because you can't control who's coming in and out of your country.
Yeah, I mean, sounds good.
But I would tell you that the elitists don't believe that.
Right.
And everybody seems to think that the elites believe that, you know, if we bring enough Muslims in here, it'll destroy America. If we bring enough, Africans in here, it'll destroy America. If we bring enough Chinese in here, it'll destroy America. What most people don't understand, because nobody's ever talked about this, is the fact that they're looking for not a uniparty, they're looking for a unirace. And I'm not joking. The reason you want to mix societies at a level the elites are wishing to mix them at is because of the disparity between, say, white people and black people, or between Oriental people and black people, or between black people and Mexicans, or between – there are those who honestly believe that the world would be a much better place if we weren't a uniparty, if we were a unirace. Now, at the same time, accomplishing that today, you have to destroy so many norms that we have lived with for hundreds of years. Look around you, Steve.
Yeah. I just had an interesting thought.
Please.
Close to 20 years ago, the mid-2000s or somewhere in that vicinity, they made a second Time Machine movie. Do you remember that one? They made one back in the 60s, but then they made one about 20-some-odd years ago.
Yeah.
The people close to, after this main character built his time machine, he went back and he got knocked out or whatever, and his time machine got really wacky, and he went in, I think it was 800,000 years into the future or some sort of a...
Yeah. Way the hell, yeah.
Ungodly number. And... Yep. He found that there was two races of people. There were the underground people. Looked very, very weird. They looked like trolls
if you live out of the sun, I imagine you're not going to look like people who live in the sun.
Yeah. And the others they were very, very light, dark, light brown skinned people. mulatto, probably like quarter black or quarter white, whatever the case was.
So a mixture of all races.
Mixture of all races, yeah.
Yeah. And again, you have to understand, if you wish to control a global population, having a global population where some of them are Oriental, where some of them are African, where some of them are Hispanic, where some of them are Caucasian, where some of them, this literally sets up a circumstances for conflict. It absolutely does. And if you wish to have a minimum pushback from those you allow to live, because remember, the elites don't think that 8 billion people should be on this planet. They talk about 500 million. Remember the Georgia Guidestones? But what they are looking for is a unirace. So yep. There is no friction. So there is no pushback between one and another. So that the only person, the only race they need to look to would be that elitist caste. Does that make sense, Steve?
Yeah, and they also want two classes. They want
yes.
their filthy elite rich and us being the poor.
Us. Well, it's not so much being poor, because I don't think it would qualify as poor. I think we would have everything we needed. I think we may even have a good basic level of entertainment. What we wouldn't be, and what we wouldn't be allowed, is what the elitist caste is. But at the same time, you have to remember, even if there's only 500 million people on this planet, if they're all being treated like crap, then eventually they may push back. So again, I don't think whoever is left is going to be treated really badly, but at the same point in time, everything they are allowed to do will be part of the scenario of control over them.
Well, they will keep their thugs and minion just happy enough, and the rest
yes.
of us won't be.
Okay, so you said that in like 12 words, and I used 250. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next point.
Describe what a central bank or a Federal Reserve is here in America, and why do we need to shut it down?
The Federal Reserve is basically it's a travesty, because the Federal Reserve is not the only one like it on the planet. But what the Federal Reserve does is it manufactures money out of thin air, and it lends it to America. Now, the more we borrow, the more they manufacture out of thin air and lend to us. We do pay interest on this. And when the debt is $35 trillion and the interest alone is in the trillions, or very, very soon to be, each year, how many kids can't get, I don't know, special treatment? Whether it's medically, whether it's via education, whether it's because of over $1 trillion being spent on interest. How many elderly will die just totally lacking the medical resources that they need, but you spent $1 trillion on the debt, so on and so forth. Now, if you stop to consider everything I'm saying, who are their minions? Who work for them? Who are their biggest minions? And that would be the people that occupy our Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. Because these are the people who continue to pass bills like $95 billion for Taiwan. Okay, who else? Yeah, Taiwan, Israel, and yeah, all the way up to Zelensky too. Absolutely. $95 billion, people, and we're $34 trillion in debt, and America is ready to default. But we're going to spend $95 billion and send it all over the planet. This is where we are at. And where does that money come from? It comes from the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve right now, okay, is in a position where we have so much debt, they may be forced into calling that debt. And if they do, America folds. Anything to add to that, Steve?
It's not for this week, but, you know, that it's debatable.
Well, don't go into it too deep.
No. I don't believe, you hear millions and millions of people out there saying that, well, they just create money out of thin air. They actually don't. And I can prove it next week. They don't print it out of thin air. It comes from us. It comes from our trust.
Yes. Yes, it does. Absolutely. And part of the reason why I said don't get into it too deeply is because I totally agree with that. Yes, today is the generalities. Next week are the specifics. And that's a great specific. Yep. It really is.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that. Everybody forget what you just heard. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Is there any other point you would like to push on that point?
Because well,
as far as I'm concerned, the Federal Reserve needs to go away, and it needs to go away bad. Right now, the Federal Reserve is a mechanism owned and run by the global deep state, what we call the elitist caste. And with it, they will bring America to her knees. And at soon to be $35 trillion, I got to tell you something, it won't take much for them to do it.
One other quick comment. What you just mentioned was called poisoning the well.
Yes.
You said, what, like a judge or a lawyer? Well, specifically a judge. One of the lawyers, either the defense lawyer or the prosecuting lawyer, will bring something up. It's called a poisoning the well. And the judge will say, oh, the jury needs to disregard that. But it's already in their head. It's a little implanted seed.
Absolutely. And that's part of what we're doing today.
Yes.
Okay, next point.
What is the Act of 1871 and what did it do to us?
The Act of 1871 made the United States a corporation. Why did it make the United States a corporation? Because the United States was failing due to the Civil War. It was literally failing financially. And would have literally collapsed in on itself. The Act of 1871 brought in the corporatist who will save America. We will. And the Act of 1871 made the United States a corporation home-based or home-quartered out of Washington, D.C., the 10 or 12 square miles of Washington, D.C. That is what rules over the corporate entity, which is USAINC. Not a joke. Now, going forward, we can be told a lot of things by our Congress. We can be told a lot of things by our president. We can be told a lot of things by our senators. But how much do you think the deep state, who actually owns America, is going to let things that work against their principles pass? Why do you think so much of what is passed in Congress and the Senate or by idiot presidents like Joe Bob? Why do you think so much of it? You look at it and you go, why the hell would you pass that? That does nothing for us. But we don't own America. You're allowed to vote, but how much, you know, we constantly scream. The vote rigging, election cheating, the whole nine yards. But if you knew that the United States was actually a corporation and that was just a play enactment, every time you had, I don't know, a vote, what would you think? How much have I got wrong, Steve?
None of it. I would add.
Please, that's why I said, how much have I got wrong, Steve? Please add.
For the most part, people don't want to look at and they don't want to believe that Abraham Lincoln was a devout communist. He was a follower of Karl Marx.
Yeah.
He had tried seven times previously to run for president and nobody wanted him. That's why they called him Stinkin' Lincoln. Until he had some Eastern bankers from Boston, New York, and a few in Chicago and that backed him with $7 million way back in the, 1859 or whatever. That's all it took to win a presidency was $7 million.
Hell, that's one commercial today.
Exactly is, yeah. And they ended up getting him in.
Yeah. And he ended up by what? Oh, the Act of 1871. The influence he brought with him didn't go away when he went away.
Nope, it did not.
As a matter of fact, him going away may have sped up the process of taking us into the Act of 1871.
More than likely, he's the one that brought communism to America.
That could be. I don't know if he actually used the word communism. There are other people who have talked. Well, yeah, but there are other people who have talked about his, some of his discussions were very communist sounding, but the word communism wasn't in them. So again, I would say that would probably be specific to a given situation.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. Was he out there spitting that word out all the time? Probably not. Because again, if you're running for president and you're trying to tell everybody, I want to bring a form of government in here that we don't have and we probably don't want, it's called communism. No, he wouldn't do that. He was probably a little bit smarter than that. But you're absolutely right. Lincoln had a big part to play in this. But what most people do not understand, and it's never taught in school, is that the United States, just like 189 other countries on this planet, are now corporations owned by the globalist deep state or the globalist elite caste, whatever you want to call them. But they literally own 95% of the countries on the planet. The United States, the biggest, baddest, and the best.
Yep.
Next point, please. Oh, unless you've got something to add, please.
Well, I just wanted to add, you hear that these pundits on the political show, they will talk about the Middle East, and they will talk about some of these countries being in the 12th century, so-called, and they want to stay in the 12th century. And that reason is because they realize what the rest of the world is, and they don't want any kind of part of it, actually.
Really? Oh, come on. We're a bunch of good boobies, ain't we? Come on. All right, next point.
Why do representatives and people in control have dual citizenship? Do we need, is it bad or is it good or?
I would tell you that if you are sitting in your home in the middle of Kalamazoo wherever, and you are watching the evening news, and you got to get up tomorrow morning because you have a job driving a taxi cab, and you're a dual citizen, that hurts nobody. That hurts nobody at all, and that's what you wish to do. That's fine by me, okay? But if you step up into the point of representation, if you step up to the point where you represent me, and you tell me, I don't just owe my allegiance to America, I owe my allegiance to America and another country. And the vast majority of what I'm about to discuss, we have to put a title to, because eventually you will find that out anyway by doing the minimum amount of research. Who am I talking about? A dual citizenship with the state of Israel. And a lot of our leaders, a lot in Congress, in the Senate, they have dual citizenship. Who do you think is one of the biggest providers of cash to senators and congressmen running for re-election? And hey, look, you need a couple million dollars? I can do that for you. And I just want you to do one small thing for me. And if I need anything else, I'll be sure to let you know. Oh, yeah, and I'll add an extra $500,000. Here you go. This is what we're looking at, people. Roger's not joking. Okay, if you are a dual citizen in Congress, if you are a dual citizen in state government, if you are a dual citizen in the Senate of the United States, and a bill comes up, and you know damn right well that your Israeli, I don't know, financiers of your ongoing political career wouldn't be happy if you voted yes on that, and they're not going to give you the millions of dollars you need to be reelected. Are you listening to me, people? At that point, which citizenship means more? And means more to who? To you. You have somebody you voted into Congress or into the Senate to represent you. And they end up by representing a country that is thousands of miles away, and nothing that money is going to be spent on is going to do any good for the people that elected them and put them in office. What have I got wrong there, Steve? Because to me, that's treason.
No, you've gotten it all right, but I would point out also that just at least the last few decades, it's not just Israel anymore. You've got China.
I agree.
You got China. You have North Korea. Yep. You have Haiti. You have.
But who's the biggest by far?
Sure. Israel is, yeah.
Israel, yeah. And Israel is by far the largest financier of American elections outside of, the norms, the people in their district that put money in. If you want an outside source, Israel is responsible for the reelection of so many senators and so many congressmen. It's insane. Now, you take a look at all of those that are getting the massive funds from Israel and find out how many of them are dual citizens. One in one does make two.
That's right.
At least I think it does. Right, Steve?
Yep.
All right. You want to add anything to that, please?
No. Well...
no,
no,
well,
I'm okay. Yep.
Next point. Oh, wait a minute. We got to go to break.
Yes, we do. Very, very close.
Let me breathe.
Okay. We'll be right back in 60 seconds, everyone.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, everybody. As I stated, TLB Talk is not up and running right now, but it is not going away. It is right now in the closet. Excuse me. It's in the toolbox, actually, and we are upgrading the heck out of it, and we are adding new capabilities. It will be back. It should be back no later than the 1st of July for the 4th of July and to roll into the 2024 election cycle. We wanted to make sure it was available to all by then. So again, I'm not going to tell you too much right now about the surprises we will offer when we relaunch it in the 1st of July, but I think I probably ought to tell you it's going to be a whole lot better, and it was already good. So, Stephen, what's that?
Crazy thing about TLB Talk. I told you two or three times in the past few months here, I got on there, tried to log in, and it kicked me off every single time. I tried about a dozen times. Last week, after you said it was going to be shelved and worked on, I got in there, logged in, and it put me right on.
Well, again, I don't know what the issue was. I wish we could have gotten you to one of our techs, because you're the only person that's ever said they tried to go in and couldn't. Yeah. We never got that. But again, it could be something else that's specific to you and nobody else. Look in the mirror. You got anything sticking out of your head? All right. So let's get to our next talking point. Maybe we can get these done so we can focus on your stuff next week.
Absolutely. Anywho, we're going to talk about schools. Why are they important to take back the narrative?
Back to the parents?
Take back to the narrative. Take back to the parents in control, yeah.
Well, look, you and I, we understand that school started out as being a community issue. It was. Not all communities had schools, and the ones that did have schools, they were usually more prosperous than the ones that didn't. Obviously, I'm talking in the 1700s here, or the 1800s, all right? School became a part of the local community. The teachers were looked upon because they were teaching your children. If there was an issue, the parents were brought in and consulted. A child was not punished above standing in a corner or, you know, writing on the blackboard 1,000 times, I won't do this ever again. Anything beyond that, the parents had to be made aware of. If a medical issue was brought up by a student in school, the parents were immediately, okay, informed. If a child said, I don't like my mommy, I don't want to go home, the first thing they would do is get a hold of the parents and see what they could do to possibly straighten out a situation between the child and the parent, because the parent-child relationship, especially during the school years, is supposedly paramount. So with everything I've just said, what the hell do we live in today, people? If you go to school and your kid's in first grade and they have, what, a drag queen day, where somebody comes in dressed as a clown in a skirt, okay, looking really cool and really fun, and tells your six-year-old child or children, go home tonight. If you like what I'm doing, go home and tell your parents you want to be a boy or you want to be a girl. And if they say no, all you have to do is tell your counselor. I'm not joking, people. A lot of you already know this. And now that kid goes home, looks at the parent and says, yeah, I'm a boy, but I'm going to be a girl. And if you don't like it, tell me right now. The kid goes back to school the next day, tells the counselor, my mom and dad both told me over my dead body, you ain't doing nothing like that. You need to get your head straight. At which point, the teacher gets a hold of the government, who gets a hold of your parents, the kid's parents, and says, you will either allow this or we will take your child. Are you listening to me? This is school today, where your children are turned against you, where everything you fought, even as a Christian parent, to teach your children will now go in the crapper. Because the state says, we don't care what your mommy said. We don't care what your daddy said. There's no such thing as just men and women. If you don't want to believe in God, who even thinks God exists? This is what your children are going through. Your children are being taught now that they are in charge. And if you do not like it, then you will lose your children. Now, for anybody who doesn't understand why this is happening, why the schools are being invaded, why our children are being separated from their parents, either egotistically or, I don't know, in any way, shape, or form. Why? Because the quickest way to bring a nation to its knees is to destroy the family unit. What the hell do you see going on, people? Steve, have I got that wrong?
No, sir. You got excited, but it was all correct.
Yeah, well, that's what it does to me.
I know I've told you before, but I've told the audience before, too. But when the public schools were being introduced into America, it was a newspaper out east in Boston area, I believe, that people used to write into their editors, letter to the editor is what they called it.
Yep.
But they had dissenting views against public education because the parents were concerned that they were only going to indoctrinate their children and turn them against the parents and the family.
What do you think happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes, look, sometimes things don't change overnight. They cannot change overnight, especially when you're talking about a country as large as this with a political system as involved or as deep as this. Some things don't happen overnight. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at the small changes we have seen in laws over the years, in other words, let's say I'm going to make a budget, and this is just to explain my point. I'm going to make a budget, and everybody says your budget cannot be over $1 million. Okay, so this year I say, well, you know, it's going to be $1,001,000, and we absolutely need that, and it's only $1 more. So everybody says yes. What do you think is going to happen next year? It's going to be $2. What do you think is going to happen the year after that? It's going to be $3. Why? Because they succeeded. And what you end up with at the end of 100 years – how much more money are you spending every single time? This is exactly what happens with the control over you and I. And when you stick the parents into that scenario, you accelerate it.
Absolutely.
Anything else, or do we roll to the next point?
No, I mean, if someone that believes in this left-right paradigm, they will listen to the talking heads on TV, and they will say, no, you're not smart enough to raise your children. We have to do that.
Yeah, absolutely, which is absolutely insane. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Next point.
What is the deep state, and what can we do to – is it a good thing or bad thing? Do we dissolve it or keep it?
Well, first off, we definitely don't want to keep it. And second off, dissolving it is going to be a hell of a lot harder than most people think. What is the deep state? If I was in a particular government program for 20 years or 25 years, and I'm now running the program, everything I put into this, so on and so forth going forward, again, we're talking about the individuals who run these government mechanisms, they push the limit just a little bit each year as far as their authority, what they are able to do and why they are able to do it. They expand their abilities, their capabilities, and their reach just a little bit each time. It doesn't seem like much, but if you've been a country for 250 years, what do you think the difference would be between a cabinet that was formed in, I don't know, 1796 and a cabinet that was formed in 2024? The difference is going to be phenomenal. But I want to know what you think of the deep state before I give you my last comment, Steve.
Well, the deep state, a.k.a. corporations and NGOs, they...
That's part of it. Yes, you're right.
It also goes into the other part of
government.
Government accountability and representation of different, citizenships.
Yes,
it's all in the same little neat package.
But what's all the same in the little neat package?
Well, one goes with the other. You dissolve the deep state, and you will dissolve the dual citizenship issue. You'll dissolve the government accountability issue.
You'll dissolve the overspending issue. The educational issue. You'll dissolve the What is the deep state? That's why I asked you, because I knew you would fill in the blank. Thank you. Now, let me finish this. What is the deep state? Over the years, as I explained to you, each one of these major organizations within the government have gained a little bit more power until they get to the point where they are today, where you have somebody running the FBI, which we know is corrupt beyond belief. All Americans know that now, but they don't give a damn. Where the CIA is so corrupt, it's insane. Where the NIS is so corrupt, it's insane. Where the DOJ is so corrupt, it's insane. But each and every one of them today have a level of power that most of you couldn't comprehend, because that's not the way it was supposed to be. And they want you to believe that everything is the way it always was supposed to be. I'm going to tell you right now, okay, that something like the FBI, when it was originally formed, the powers they have today are so far beyond that, that they are no longer responsible to you and I, which makes the FBI, the CIA, and all of these intel agencies the most dangerous mechanisms to you and I in this country. Did I say something wrong, Steve?
No, sir, but I would add that the FBI...
Please!
From the FBI's inception, their only job has been to clean up the crimes of the deep state, the cabal.
Yes.
That's to cover up and hide them. That's their only job.
Yep. And again, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they use other excuses for why they were invented. You know, we had these bad guys and we needed all this brand new technology that was invented in the 1880s and 1890s to catch all of these bad guys.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, nobody was allowed to drink back then, and there were a whole bunch of people making moonshine and selling it all over the place.
Yes.
Yeah. And the FBI said, we got to go out and make sure that nobody can get anything to drink anymore.
Yep.
Because it's illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yes, I do agree. And yes, these government agencies, each and every one of them, have overreached their power to the point where we are now seeing alternative sources, a lot of them using the word treason when they discuss the FBI, the CIA, Christopher Wray. I could just start throwing names out.
It's all true. Yeah, I wanted to add something else. The FBI, along with the CIA and the DEA, the ATF, whatever.
NIS.
NIS. Yeah. Whatever the alphabet letter agency you want to use, they always control aspects of the crime, whether it's drug running or alcohol running or child running, whatever the case is. They always run the top tiers of those rings, and they only go after the so-called criminals that they don't control.
Oh, come on. That's a conspiracy theory.
No.
You expect me to believe that, Steve? Take your tinfoil hat off. Come on.
There's stories out there where
I'm joking.
I know. There are stories out there, whether it's one of these alphabet agencies or local police, they will go after some drug dealer or a pimp or whatever the case is, but they'll bypass somebody's houses that is a known criminal, known drug dealer, and a known pimp, but... and then go after somebody else because that one particular house is controlled by somebody in the system.
Okay, not only do I think that that's a bunch of crap, but I was about to say that and you stole it from me. Why does everybody in the audience think I keep telling y'all that Steven is my co-host, even though he hardly says anything on any show? To get this guy to say more, we all win.
Well, you know, between you and Luca on Monday, you on Wednesday, it's not my show. I mean, I'm the producer, but you know, I'll jump in there whenever you guys want me to. But it's not my show.
It doesn't matter. I list you as my co-host. Remember?
Yeah, I know it.
Okay. Okay. But everybody's getting to hear today, which I'm very happy with. Okay, we've got less than 15 minutes. We're going to the next. How many points we got left?
Looks like just one.
Okay, we're good, because we can have a bit of a discussion after this last point.
Yeah, actually. This one ties into most of the others, actually. You know, they all tie into each other, but why do we need to take the money, the campaign money, out of politics? And not so much campaign money, but I'll discuss something after you talk a little bit.
Yep. Me talk a little bit?
Yeah, I know it.
Okay, all right. That was an oops. But listen, everybody, money and politics. All right. When somebody can be elected, and I'm just going to pick fictitious things, so don't take me to the cleaners on this. When somebody can get elected, okay, and the reason that individual got elected was because of the amount of money they had to spend on their campaign was so far above what their competition had that their competition hardly even was noticed. Okay, that's fine. All right, but let me ask you a question. Where does the majority of that money come from? Does it come from the constituents of the individual who is either running for election or re-election? No, it doesn't. Okay. The person who won that, the short thing I just described, the person who won that had all kinds of money from outside sources, meaning they're not in his district. Some of them may not even be in his state. So he goes to the deep state. He taps them on the shoulder and he says, okay, I'll do anything you need. Just make sure I get elected. Or the deep state sees that he's struggling and they know they have a few things that they can hold over him. So they tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, do us a couple of small favors. We'll make sure you get elected. We got money for you. And this is the way it moves. It totally avoids and destroys the representation that you think you're getting when you elect this person and send them to Washington. It isn't. It isn't you they're going to represent, because they want to be there again. And if they want to be there again, they've got to make the person who's giving them money happy, not necessarily you. So going forward, the deep state works with these individuals to make sure that enough good things are passed that would put at least a semi-smile on the face of your constituents. And with enough money from the deep state, you'll get reelected again, which is their intent. But if you go in there and you say the government is corrupt and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we take them down, your chances of being elected or reelected are so low, it's criminally insane. What have I got wrong, Steve?
Not a thing.
But I could have talked for an hour on that.
Yeah, you could have. Yeah. What many people
But I want
don't...
to hear from you before I give you my last comment again.
What many people don't know is once these people are selected, or what you just said, elected,
yeah,
they are able to, only them and their family members or close friends, part of the cabal, part of the minion club, they are able to profit on insider information.
Yes. And that was part of what I was going to get to after you talked.
Hillary Clinton, a few years back, was, you know, I think it was the Whitewater scandal or whatever it was. She said, oh, that's just considered a white crime. That's not hurting anyone. Why are you focusing on that, you right winger? It's a right wing conspiracy. You know that.
Absolutely.
Who is it? Feinstein and her husband.
Yeah.
Collectively. Yes. Since her, well, not since her death, but since her 48, 50 years, whatever has been in Congress, they are collectively worth $194 million or something like that?
It's over $200
million. Is it over $200 million? Okay, I mean...
And she's in Congress, and she was actually the Speaker of the House, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now...
How did Hillary Clinton... the Whitewater scandal. How did she get 11 consecutive stock market choices that paid off to her? 11 in a row. I mean, how does somebody do that?
I think you and I both know that. Okay? The same people who control the stock market control the government. Uh-huh. The same people who control the stock market, listen to me, people, and remember the beginning of the show. Okay, one of our talking points was the Act of 1871. The same damn people who own the banks and own America.
Yep.
The global deep state, the global elite is cast. However you wish to identify them, I call them the global devils.
Or the parasite.
Satan incarnate.
The parasites. Yeah. How did Bernie Madoff? Well, it's not so much that Bernie Madoff had a Ponzi scheme that made him $58 billion. It's a matter of who he stole it from, who he had the Ponzi scheme against. It was against the filthy parasitic elite. That's why he got caught. It's not so much how he did it or why he did it. It's who he did it to.
If you take that to the extreme, okay, we have, and again, I'm going to bring these names up just to make a point, okay? We have somebody who, as president of the United States, had the total 100% ability and capability and capacity to declassify any document he pointed at and said it's declassified. That's not a guess. Roger worked for the government for 30 years, remember? I know this. And I worked with a very high security clearance. I know this. Okay. So he had the ability to do exactly what he did. And he is being dragged through court and they are trying to bury him. They're trying to put him in prison forever. Joe Bob. Absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the DOJ has admitted had highly classified information sitting in his garage next to his Corvette in a cardboard box that his drug addict son and his buddies had access to and were in constantly. But yet, listen to me, people, Our Department of Justice, our DOJ, has said that Joe Bob is too old and frail. That's probably why he did what he did, and there is no use to prosecute him because he's too old and frail. Now, let me ask you a question. Why the hell are you going to let him run for president again? You just told us he's guilty. You just told us he's too stupid to take him to court.
Well, that's...
He's too old. He's too deranged. But yet, he's going to be allowed to run for president again. Gee, is that two-tiered? Do you think that might be two-tiered?
Well,
maybe.
The press secretary says he's fine.
Yes, but the DOJ won't prosecute him because he's a freaking flaming moron due to his age.
Can you say...
Trump, who had the ability to do exactly what he did, is going from one court case to the next, 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 and the American people are looking at this, and they're starting to get very pissed.
Can you say Orwellian doublespeak, kids?
Orwellian doublespeak, kids. Yes, I can say.
I mean, kids. kids, can you say Orwellian doublespeak?
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yes, and that's... No, I was joking with you. I know what you...
I know.
But again, we're looking at a situation here where the double standard is so insane, and the government doesn't give a crap. They don't give a crap if you know that Trump isn't guilty, but you're making him guilty. We know for a fact that Joe Bob is guilty, but you're making him non-guilty. Even the biggest morons in this country know that. But yet, you're going to stick to that. Then you're going to tell us how bright and sparkly and shiny the government is, and everybody else is evil and mean. Doesn't work for me anymore.
Well,
does it work for you?
No. You know, if you listen to the mainstream media, there is only one voice for the right wings of politics, and that's Fox News. And if you listen to if you listen to the left wing media, they have no voice.
All right, everybody listening to this, you need to understand something. This is a show about what are we going to do. Today was splashing the oopses in your face. When we talk next week, Stephen's points are going to be converted into what do we need to do? That's where we convert this over to the answer. Steve's talking points, which you will see next week, are awesome. And with the ability not only to discuss them, but to let people know what we believe we should do as the sovereigns, the true sovereigns of America. Next week, we will take everything you've heard this week and everything you hear next week and wrap them together. Have I got that right, Steve?
Yes, you do. Yes, sir.
Any final words here? We're like 3 minutes out, I think.
2 minutes, minute and a half, somewhere in there.
Okay.
No, I will say this, today, and I'll say it next week also, but the solution is dilution of the pollution.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's awesome.
It is.
I'm going to plagiarize that.
I heard that quite a few years back, and it stuck with me. It's a good little phrase.
It is good. I like it.
To dilute the pollution, you know, you have to dilute the pollution for the solution, I guess. Another way to say it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Steve. This is probably one of the most enjoyable shows simply because of your level of participation. And everybody else listening, I'm really looking forward to next week because next week is going to be this week on steroids. I'm not joking. Okay. The talking points we have and the points we're going to use to tie all of this together is going to make next week's show very active. And if we cannot finish it next week, we will go to a third week on this. It is that important. Today, we told you the what ifs. Next week, we're going to tell you what do you think we should do. And the week after that, if necessary, we'll run a synopsis. But we promised you this, and we will always deliver what we promise. Closing words, Steve.
Hashtag crushed it today.
I love that. Closing words, Steve. Hashtag crushed it.
Yep.
All right, are we done?
Yes, sir, we're done.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, until next week, folks.